This parable tonight is one that I said in church today that Jesus actually told from a boat on a lake. We call the Sea of Galilee the Sea of Galilee, but it is, if you've been there, you know it's actually a lake. I guess they called it a sea because the storms would come in and over the mountains and drop down on that lake, and the waves would get pretty high, so they called it a sea. But in actuality, it looks a lot like this. So he gets in a boat, and he has an amphitheater exactly like this with no seats, but he's got the grass, and that was a perfect place to speak because the water would carry. You know how that does. Somebody can be out there on a boat, be talking, and we can hear them. I heard a conversation today I shouldn't have heard while I was on the porch. You know, somebody was way out there, and I thought to myself, I don't think I would have said that if I was you. But anyway, you can hear from the water. And so he had a natural microphone when he told this parable of the sower and the seed. It's in Matthew's Gospel, 13th chapter. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach that used to be there. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. And other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, and yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while, and when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, well, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown in good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The word of the Lord. Last year, I was invited to be on the Megyn Kelly show. Do you remember her? And the reason I was on that show was because of a friend of mine whose name is Freddie Sherrill. Did any of you see that? You didn't see me on that? Golly, Pete. I was incredible, yeah. No, I was solely there because of Freddie, trust me. Freddie lived a very hard life in Charlotte, North Carolina, and grew up without a father. Made plenty of mistakes, had the typical sad story of being raised in poverty and homeless, African-American, addicted to drugs, a criminal, and went to prison. But there is so much more to Freddie Sherrill than all of that. We were invited on this show because 30 years ago, when I was young, I gave Freddie a job. He was in a halfway house, and one of my members came and said, "This is a really great guy. He's in AA with me, and he needs a job." you have anything around the church? And I think he was asking, you know, something like, could he wash windows or move some boxes or something? But I actually had a janitor or a sexton. We called janitors in the church sextons, which means keeper of the house of God. So I had a keeper of the house of God job, a sexton job. And I said, can you do that? And he said, well, I've never really done that. I said, well, do you have any experience? And he said, well, a very humble guy. He said, no, not really. He said, I basically just know how to rob people and been addicted and know how to go to prison, but I don't have any real experience. I don't know what, well, I do know what caused me to hire him that day, but it wasn't anything rational, right? I had a preschool with small children, and having Freddie around them would probably be an incredible risk. But I said, look, let's make a deal. If I smell alcohol on your breath anywhere in the building at any time, I'm going to fire you on the spot. I'm not going to personnel. I'm not going to pray about it. I'm just going to fire you on the spot. And so we've got one strike here. That's it. Can you work under that? And he said, yes, sir. I think I can do that. That was a long time ago. Freddie went on from there to work hard for years to get his high school diploma, to get a degree from the community college. And the reason I'm on the Megyn Kelly Show is because of Freddie graduated from Queens University in Charlotte, North Carolina at the age of 65. Okay, and they caught that in the news, and they wanted to meet this guy and find out who are you? At 65, he plowed through all of that negativity to get back with his wife, to make something of his life, to be sober all these years. He gives me an AA chip every year at Christmas, and I have 30 chips almost now that are in my drawer. And I told him, I said, Freddie, when I die and people start cleaning out my drawer, you know where this is headed, they're going to think I'm a recovering alcoholic. And Freddie said, they could think a lot worse of you, you know. And I said, you're right, brother. I mean, they really could. That's my Christmas gift. But I didn't give him sobriety. I didn't save his life. I mean, all I really did was kicked open a door. And maybe I was just too young, you know, to know the difference. It was like, let's try this, see what happens when you're young. You take risk. God took Freddie and did something with him. He gave me a poem way back when. And he has struggled throughout his life. None of this was easy. But he loves this poem, and he gave it to me. I want to share it with you. He says, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when funds are low and debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Excuse me. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won if he'd stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit. That hangs in our home and has been a poem I've carried around with me for years. Because here's a guy that was all the bad soils that Jesus talked about. The rock, the hard path, the shallowness, the birds, everything that had ever been sown in Freddie's life had been ruined in some way. And yet, there was this good soil in him, a place where God was at work, which gives us hope. You might know John Claypool, an Episcopal priest. He's with the Lord now, but he's been here good. Great writer, author, preacher. John wrote in about this parable these words. He said, a new kind of realism seems to be emerging in Jesus with this parable. By this time, he appears to be coming to terms with failure. Jesus had come home to the fact that about 3 out of 4 of the things he would like to see happen would not materialize because of the factors beyond his control. Do you hear that? That Jesus himself came in touch with the fact that he wasn't going to fix everything in everybody. And that 3 out of 4 soils in human life produced nothing. But there was this good soil. There was this place in human life. You keep sowing. Why else do you think Jesus would crawl into a boat on a lake, late one afternoon probably, and tell this little parable to a throng of people? 3 out of 4 soils that you sow in will not produce anything. Those are bad odds. One of those soils will yield and multiply and produce a rich life. Don't stop sowing. Don't quit. How many people do you know you want to quit on? They've given you every reason in the world. Maybe it's your daughter or your son or your husband or your wife or your sister or your father or your mother, and it's just time to quit because you've done everything you can. And I think of this parible where Jesus says, 3 out of 4 things aren't going to work even for me. I wonder if he thought about this parable when he hung on the cross. Wouldn't that be interesting? 3 out of 4 soils in this world produce nothing, to the point that I'm being crucified unjustly by people who live in those soils. And yet, there is a third day. There is a good soil. There is a place where life happens and God is at work. John Sanford wrote a book, The Kingdom Within, many years ago. And he suggests that all 4 of these soils are in every person. Instead of saying you're a person who's a rocky person and shallow, and I'm a person of good soil, or you're a person who's a thorny person who loves the high life and the wealth, where we polarize each other. We talked about that a little bit this morning. And so we categorize people in these 4 soils. Sanford says, what if all 4 soils exist in every person? So there's a part of me that's a hard path that won't receive what God has to give me. It's just not going to happen. There's a part of me that springs up quickly in enthusiasm, and yet when something hard comes along, I can fall away. There's a part of me that is covered in thorns because of my love of wealth and my comfort and my leisure. But, Freddie reminds us, there's also a part of me that is dark, rich, deep, moist soil. A place where God is at work in my life. If all people in the universe are God's children, and think with me about that. Most of you have traveled around the world to different places. Catherine and I have had the honor and privilege of being in places like Congo and Malawi and Hungary and Cuba, El Salvador. And you meet people who are so different from you, they're God's people. And you come home realizing God's world is so much bigger than mine. God's boundaries are so much larger than my boundaries. These people belong to God. And if that's true, then these unproductive soils that Jesus talks about, they have to break the heart of God. People whose hearts are too hard to receive God's love, people whose faith is too shallow to uphold a life storm, people too consumed with the cares of the world and the lure of wealth. Those are my children. I don't want them in those soils. I want their hearts and their minds in the good soil of the kingdom where God is at work in their life. I thank God, like any of us who are parents, continues to work on all of us as God's children to get us out of those deadly soils. There's more to life than hard paths, rocks, thorns in this world. And Jesus got in a boat one day on a beautiful lake, and he had a throng of people just like you who came to hear what he had to say. And of all things, he told them a simple little story. A sower went out to sow one day. Three-fourths of the soil of the seed fell on ground that produced nothing. But there is this other soil. Rest if you must, but don't you quit. I went to El Salvador years ago, and Oscar Romero, does that ring a bell for any of you? Was just the Pope made Archbishop Oscar Romero a saint, which wasn't an easy task because Oscar Romero spoke out against the government who was oppressing the poor. He had a little radio station in a very small chapel in El Salvador, and he would get on the radio and speak to the poor who would listen to him to empower them. And as he was serving the Eucharist on a particular Sunday morning, and he took the host, the bread, and raised it up to break it, an assassin pulled up in the front of the church. The doors were open like they were in our church today, and pulled up in the front door in a Volkswagen bus and took a rifle and laid it on the window and shot the priest between the eyes while he broke the bread of Christ. When we were there visiting this place, the tour guide said to me, since I was the head of our group, "Come, would you like to stand in the place where Father Romero was killed?" And I said, "No." But not for the reason you might think. I'm not worthy to stand in that place of sacrifice, where that man had the courage to speak out against his own government that was oppressing the poor, and he died because of it, or maybe he lived because of it. But he had a prayer that I want to read in closing for us, that's just this powerful prayer that says something about this parable told on a lake one day, although he never mentions it. But a sort of it alludes to these soils that produce nothing and the unfinished nature of life, where you're always sowing, you're always toiling, and you're always looking for the harvest, not only in your own life, but in the life of others. He prays, and if you would pray with me. Dear Lord, the kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it's even beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is your work. Nothing we do is complete, which is a way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that could be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders, ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future not our own. This is what we are about. We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water the seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something, and to do it very well. Amen. A blessing or a hymn, or how do we end this? You sit here and watch God let that sun go down, that'd be great, right? Yeah.